Hi, my name is Zakaran, and welcome to another of my outrageously amazing, insanely enlightening master keys of creation, about how to create and attract the joy, well-being, and abundance that you desire, and how to be the unlimited master of creation that you truly are, literally make all your dreams come true. And you'll find tons more awesome, empowering videos, podcasts, articles, books, products, support, and guidance for you to become a conscious, amazing, deliberate creator of reality to easily create and attract the happiness, health, wealth, and abundance and freedom that you desire on my website at Zakaran.com. So, it's all about feeling, not doing. It's all about feeling good, because the only reason you want anything is to feel good and be happy. The only reason you are here on earth is for the joy of creation, to manifest your dreams into physical reality, and not to prove your worth, but just for the sheer joy and adventure of it. Now, most people believe that life is all about doing and accomplishing and proving success, proving worth. They believe that life is about succeeding in life by how much money and toys you can accumulate, or to provide freedom to do what you want. And they believe life is about proving how good you are, or how spiritual you are, or how sexy you are, how enlightened you are, or how pure you are, or moral, or etc., and how young you are, how fit you are, or how talented or smart or clever that you are. Now, we tend to value people of action and accomplishment and admire their tenacity and boldness and creativity against all odds. Whereas people who are less action-oriented, who take an easier, less accomplishment-oriented path, as a society, we tend to value and admire those people a lot less. We tend to view them as being worth less. The work hard and play hard ethic has certainly been the god to worship for at least a few millennia. But is action and accomplishment what life is really about? Because if you pick it apart and get to what is behind all of this action and success and accomplishment, what does anybody really want? Answer, to feel good. The only reason anybody wants anything is to feel good. People want to feel good about themselves. They want a joyful life. And for some, feeling good comes from what they do. For others, feeling good comes from what they don't do. For some, it's feeling good comes from what they have, what they've accomplished, what they've amassed. For others, it's who reject physicality and who somehow believe that it's more enlightened or pure to be, or spiritual to be, you know, take vows of poverty and be poor. Well, feeling good supposedly is about being poor, but of course nobody feels good being poor. In other words, some people enjoy an easier, more simple path, where other people enjoy a more sort of busy path. As a classic example, our beloved hippies of the 60s and beyond that have, to a large degree, rejected the classic societal addiction to action and accomplishment and success, well, they redefined success as being more connected to nature, and being generally happy with simple, more simple pleasures, embracing more of the sensual pleasures of life and nature and the spiritual pleasures and so forth. But just as the action-oriented realm of society have through millennia decided that accomplishment and proof of worthiness by how much you've accomplished and how committed you are to contributing to society and by how hard you work, how much you've sacrificed and struggled is the right way to live. And who judge anyone with an opposing viewpoint as being lesser than and lazy, and good for nothing. So, do the more alternative-oriented, quote-unquote hippie New Age, so-called radicals and revolutionaries and activists and New Agers and other alternative spiritually-oriented people have reciprocally decided that, well, their way is the right way. So which is the right way? More action, less action? And the people that have decided that less action, more a more easy life, well, they often judge others with opposing views. Everybody's judging everybody else, and they feel the need to project their views upon others as more evolved and spiritual because I'm a vegan and because I'm a Buddhist, etc. So who's right? Are the more action-oriented, money-oriented, wealth-oriented, success-oriented people delivering this planet straight to hell with express postage? Or are the more ease-oriented, nature-loving hippies hindering technological evolution with their resistance? Are the action-oriented consumers of the planet really destroying nature? Or is there something else going on entirely that both sides of the fence are not really aware of? Because is the solution really to somehow de-evolve and become tribes of people living on the land again? I mean, I don't think so. I have no desire to live like a bloody native. We're way beyond that. We're way, 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 way beyond that. Life is not about going back. It's always about going forward. Our natural way, our natural way of being, our natural way of thinking as immortal creators is always forward, always move forward. I don't care how much you want to live in nature. If you took away all the technology and the cars and the stores, even the people supposedly living off the grid would be totally screwed. The point I'm making here is what you do and what you accomplish is immaterial, because the only reason anyone wants anything is to feel good, whether you are an action addict, money addict, success addict, or sort of anti-success addict. The only reason anybody wants or doesn't want things is to feel good. The only reason rampant excess consumerism exists is because people want to be happy and prosperous. They want more ease in their life, and they think technology will do it for them. And to some degree, that has certainly happened. And if buying the latest, greatest knick-knack and paddywhack makes them happy, well, they're going to bloody buy it, and they're going to bloody make it. At least until more and more people realize that they can feel good regardless of what they accomplish or own, or in the case of the hippies, don't own. And ultimately, there's nothing wrong at all about technological evolution and consumerism, because these things are direct manifestations of our desires for more ease and more convenience and more abundance and more freedom. Because no matter how action-oriented you may be, everyone craves ease and relaxation and freedom to do whatever they want, whenever they want, which is why consumerism exists in the first place, because everyone wants the freedom to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and they all want to feel good. They just think that buying shit makes them happy, and it does temporarily, but ultimately it doesn't work. So the belief that we must somehow become Neanderthals again and live on the land close to nature is basically drastically flawed. We're not ever going to give up technology, because technology brings more ease, more convenience, more freedom. Technology has given me the freedom that I desire because I don't like to work. I don't like to struggle. I don't like to fight for what I want. I know that life's about ease. I know that I can make money from my money. I know that I can create money out of thin air, just like the banks do. And technology is helping that happen. So we're not ever going to give up technology because technology brings more ease and more convenience and more freedom. And despite people's fears, technology is going to, technology is going to take away my job. They're going to take away jobs. No one really wants to do in the first place. Well, what the fuck does it matter? Because let's face it, no one wants a job in the first place, especially nobody wants a shitty job that nobody wants to do. The only reason anyone supposedly wants a job is to have money to buy things to play with. No matter what, we always get back to the same root of things, which is the boys and girls and the non-gender specific, non-binary people just want to have fun. The boys and girls are non-gender specific, non-binary people just want to have fun. That's all they really want. Okay, so some really weird people seem to love their jobs and love their work. But I guarantee that 99.9% of the people on planet Earth, if you gave them $1 trillion right now, they would drop that job like a freaking hot potato. Point is, it's all about feeling. If what you're doing feels good, well, then just keep doing it. You're totally on the right track. But regardless of how amazing whatever you are doing is, even if you absolutely love your job or your career or your business or your life, you will always desire more and better, more and better, more and better, because we are all unlimited, immortal, eternal creators here for the joy of creation, which means we're here for the joy of desire. So technological advancement is absolutely inevitable. But a renewed appreciation of nature and our environment is also inevitable. Because source still exists, so to speak, always exists in nature. That's why we love animals so much. That's why we love nature so much. There's no disconnection between source and nature. We're the ones that have disconnected from source. Source hasn't disconnected from us. So, you know, it's nice. That's why it's so nice to have pets and so nice to go out into nature and why we love babies so much, because they're connected to source. So a renewed appreciation of nature and our environment is also inevitable. And that is obvious by how huge the travel industry is, which will always be the most rapidly growing industry on planet Earth. And anything related to finances where people have the ability to have more freedom. Case in point, in this day and age, cryptocurrency and other alternative ways of making money, because nobody wants a fucking job anymore. That and, you know, alternative ways to create freedom, alternative ways to make money, to facilitate more ease and more travel and more freedom and more fun and more joy and more feeling good, because that's all we want is to feel good. For some, feeling good comes from working hard and accomplishing shit and buying shit. At least until that no longer satisfies them because their belief structures change and evolve, or they just get bored with the last widget and, you know, they just can't buy enough widgets to make them happy. And each new generation comes in with the evolved belief structures that their parents and their parents wanted to live but weren't able to do. They weren't courageous enough. They weren't evolved enough. They didn't, you know, evolve spiritually enough to live those desires because of societal pressure to maintain the status quo. They just didn't have the support they needed to do it. But nonetheless, our parents certainly desired the freedoms that we now experience and ultimately created this freedom on planet Earth for us with their desires. Even if they're not necessarily living it or even consciously agreeing with it, they created it with their desires and we just kind of stepped into it. Because whether they have the ability to admit it or not, everything that exists now was envisioned and dreamt of and desired by all the previous generations. And they created with their desires for freedom and more ease and more peace and more leisure and more prosperity and more fun and more fun and more fun. They didn't necessarily create it with their actions or because their actions were supposed to, you know, supposed to line with the status quo. But nonetheless, everyone created what exists today with their desires for more ease and more freedom, joy, and prosperity. Even though they don't know it, all of the alternative, more freedom-oriented ways to make a living, such as online businesses, network marketing businesses, even success at creative endeavors, as well as alternative financial systems and money systems, such as cryptocurrencies and investing, which are financial freedom opportunities that are available to everyone now, not just the elite and royalty. Well, this all exists because our parents generally desired more freedom in their lives and were disillusioned with the corruption and ineptitude of governments and banks and stock markets, etc., and who desired more fairness and honesty and ethics and morality from the systems that supposedly were designed to support society, not exploit them. The point is, evolution is inevitable and constant and never-ending. Improvement is 100% totally inevitable because everyone, including the supposed worst of the worst, most despicable humans ever to live on Earth, well, everyone wants to feel good and wants things to improve. That's why people do whatever they do, is to feel good. They just sometimes do it in really fucked up ways. It's just, you know, some people try to create that improvement with some, you know, pretty gnarly ass actions, but nonetheless, everyone has no choice but to continually desire improvement for themselves and everyone. All the tyrants of Earth, well, they all wanted improvement. Their idea of how to achieve that improvement and their specific beliefs of how that improvement should be were totally fucked up, for sure, but nonetheless, the point is everybody wants improvement and everyone wants more joy and more love and peace and prosperity, etc., even if it appears otherwise, because our natural state of being is pure joy, love, and abundance. And anything contrary to that is merely someone who was taught otherwise or who chose to believe otherwise because they were confronted by some sort of contrast of what they didn't like. And so instead of putting their attention on what they did like, they just kept focusing on what they don't like, kept focusing on what they don't want, which made them into bastard scumbags. But regardless of anyone's beliefs, and their beliefs are not them. Your beliefs are not you. Anyone's beliefs are not them, because beliefs are just thoughts that you have thought about over and over and over again. And then that became solidified in your mind and sort of, you know, and turned into a belief. And through the law of attraction, your continual thoughts that created a belief also attracted those thoughts to you, thusly solidifying your belief that that belief was true. In other words, whatever you believe, the universe will rearrange itself to accommodate your beliefs and prove to you that what you believe is true. Even if it is a complete and utter lie, whatever you believe will become the truth. The law of attraction ensures that it is, at least in your own mind, because then it'll show you evidence that it's true, because whatever you focus on, you get more of, positive or negative. That is why it is so unfathomable when certain people have such insane beliefs, such as the classic KKK guy. He or she, as it were, to be totally fair and unsexually biased, or that non-binary, prejudiced, hateful person only became that way with practiced thought. No one is born a bigot. No baby, no child is born a bigot. Bigots are taught to be bigots. Prejudicial beliefs only exist from continually practiced prejudicial, say that three times, thoughts taught to you from the people around you who have also practiced prejudicial thoughts, which created insane beliefs that one race or one ethnic or one religion or one gender, etc., is lesser than another. And if we dug even deeper, those beliefs actually came out of another train of practiced thought, which is the religiously taught insane idea that we are somehow born sinners and born unworthy and born immoral and born faulty, etc. And we must prove otherwise through our beliefs and actions. Which, of course, is all utter and complete bullshit, because isn't it interesting that most of the most judgmental tyrants on planet Earth were supposedly religious in nature? Makes no fucking sense. If you would have asked Hitler if he was religious or spiritual in nature, he would have said he was a Christian. If you asked all the KKK people if they believed in God, they would all say, yeah. If you asked them if they believed in the Ten Commandments, they'd say, heck yeah. And then you go, well, how come you're allowed to kill that? Anyway, we won't go there, girlfriend. So let's not forget our new favorite, the Islamic terrorists, hell-bent on destroying the infidels who don't believe the same way they do. Again, the point is everyone is trying to feel good, even if they're trying to feel good by adopting beliefs that they are superior and taking violent action to prove their superiority. Or at least being judgmental to exert their supposed superiority with their judgments. So, what's the solution? How do we create a society where we all get along and at the same time let people believe whatever they want to believe without the need to kill off the tribe who worships the sun when we worship the moon? How can we possibly live in peace when the planet is seemingly full of insecure people who believe that everyone else that doesn't believe the way they do should think, believe, and act like them? Well, first of all, those types of people are really few and far between, contrary to what the media portrays. If you actually legitimately took a poll of everyone on planet Earth, 99.99% of people would say, I want peace and love and prosperity and well-being for everyone else. But the media doesn't visit a peaceful town and say, peace broke out in Mullumbimby, Australia today. No, not one person has murdered anyone today. On the latest news, not one person was murdered in Mullumbimby today. Not one store was broken in today. Not one person was mugged today. And the children are playing and people are strolling around in the sun and chatting in the cafes. No, of course not. That's boring. We want to watch the teeny tiny minuscule amount of conflict that is happening somewhere in Shmurkmenistan. We want to watch the horror story, not the fairy tale. Because we feel alive when we can hate the tyrants and the bigots and the corrupt politicians and the greedy corporate bastards and the child-molesting priests. But I've not seen one news report about a priest who doesn't molest altar boys. I don't recall seeing a news report showcasing all of the good, moral, honest, caring politicians. Latest breaking news, priest does not molest a child today. Latest breaking news, politician actually tells the truth. I don't recall seeing a news report about all the countries at peace, not at war, or any news reports about good and generous and moral corporations that are contributing to society with their amazing products and their actual excellent treatment of their employees and their desire to actually be moralistic and contribute to society, and but that doesn't make the news. No, it's just exploit this, immoral that. The truth is, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can't blame the media for showing us what we want to see. You know, we're all drama queens, let's face it. No one's holding a gun to anyone's head and forcing them to watch the news about conflict and corruption and immorality and war. Conflict is great. War is great because great clarity is gained about what you want when you're very clear about what you don't want. War, conflict, prejudice, etc. does actually create peace, unity, tolerance, and allowance. Because everyone desires those things when less desirable conflict, things that they don't like, are staring them in the face. Watching a news report about war and protests and conflict causes everyone to desire peace, which creates peace, at least unconsciously, on an evolutionary planetary scale. Planetary pandemics. Everyone's, you know, mortality staring them in the face. The possibility of disease and death and staring them in the face causes people to desire more health, more vitality, greater immune systems. The next level of evolution for everyone is to consciously create it by not judging anyone, including the people that it is relatively impossible to not judge and hate for their supposedly despicable behavior. The key is to understand the big picture, to think like God does, to understand why people do fucked up things and understand that they're just hurting and bleeding and in pain because they feel disconnected from God's source. They feel disconnected from their own God source that they truly are. And when people feel disconnected from source, from the source that they truly are, they will do anything to feel better. Because there is nothing more painful, nothing worse than feeling disconnected from God. Hence why there's so many fucking religions on planet Earth, because humans have been desperately trying to get back to God, trying to do anything to get back to God. But they've been trying to do it through action and belief and legislation. And you don't get back to God through action. The only way to get back to source is by feeling good. And the only way to feel good is by thinking good feeling thoughts. The only way to think good feeling thoughts is to think about things that are easy to like, love, and appreciate. That source is also thinking about. And when you're thinking the same way as source, then you feel connected to source, not disconnected from source. You can't feel good thinking limited, judgmental, doubtful thoughts. You can't feel good thinking superior thoughts or inferior thoughts, because source doesn't think that way. You can't feel good thinking about things that you don't like and don't want, because source only thinks about and focuses on and vibrates what you do want and you do like. So if you want to feel good, then you got to think like source does, which is 100% unconditional love, unlimited well-being, unlimited prosperity, abundance, infinite joy, and fun-oriented ways. And when you do, when you think in joyful, abundant ways, you feel good, because that is how God's source thinks. If you think in judgmental ways and limited ways and doubtful ways and hurtful ways and vengeful ways, and destructive ways, etc., well, you're going to feel like crap. Because source, aka God, does not think that way, ever. So with that in mind, knowing that solves the timeless dilemma about how does God think? And how should we think if we want to be connected to God, if we want to be in alignment with God? And what is God? What is Source? How should we be thinking and acting to be more like God? Well, the answer is obvious, because if God was as insecure and judgmental and jealous and wrathful and vengeful as the ignorant, uneducated religions portray him to be, well, then it would feel good to feel insecure and judgmental and jealous and wrathful and vengeful and take revenge on your enemies. But it doesn't. Those feelings may feel better temporarily than feeling depressed. It feels better to have vengeful thoughts than to feel unworthy and feel powerless and helpless. But nonetheless, ultimately, those feelings don't feel good because they're not a high enough vibration yet. Which means that if you feel bad because you are thinking bad feeling thoughts, you're thinking in a completely opposite manner to how God Source is. The terrorist with dynamite strapped to his chest may feel powerful because he's going to blow up the infidels and feel some sort of degree of fucked up excitedness because he's going to go straight to heaven, supposedly, for his unselfish act of wanton destruction for Allah. Nevertheless, if you could get him to calm down for a second and get him to admit it, that he doesn't really feel good, and get him to admit how he actually feels, he would say, oh, well, I really feel like shit. So it's obvious how God's Source really, really is, which is completely 100% unconditional love and joy, because as soon as you conditionally love someone, in other words, I will love you if you act this way, but hate you if you don't, well, you're going to feel like a big-ass pile of dino dung. So, have I drove my point through yet? Has it finally sunk into your thick skull? The only reason you and everyone else wants anything is to answer, feel good. Feel good. The only reason you want the money and the success and the lovers and the children and the jobs and the business and the fame and the awards and the admiration and the approval and to be saved or to get into heaven or etc. is to feel good. The only reason people want love from God is to feel good. And here's the final kicker. You, 100%, have the power and choice to think good-feeling thoughts to feel good right now. Regardless if you have the money or the honeys or the success or the fame or the awards or anything else that you want, you have the power to be happy now. Regardless of what anyone else is doing on planet Earth, regardless of what anyone else is doing for you or not doing for you in your life, regardless of how much success and money, and regardless of how much of the things that you've manifested that you believe are going to make you happy, you have the ability to get happy regardless. And in the same vein, you will actually manifest your desires into physical reality if you get happy first, because you got the creation 101 steps in the correct order, which is, you got it right. Get happy first. Then you'll get what you want, because your joy, your happiness, your excitement, your satisfaction, before you've even got the goodies yet, attracts more things to you that are joyful and make you happy and satisfied and excited. As opposed to the improper order that most people futilely try and live their lives based upon, which is, when I get what I want, then I'll finally be happy. When I get the money and the honey and the freedom, then I'll finally be happy and I'll finally feel free. No, you've got to feel free first, and then you manifest the freedom. You got to feel love first, then you manifest the lover. Or, when I get to heaven, then I'll finally be happy. No, it's get happy, and then you feel heavenly. Getting the stuff so you can be happy does not work because you can't manifest a happy result from an unhappy journey. But when you finally get things in the proper order of get happy first, because happiness is all you want in the first place, well, then you got it right, baby. You cut out the middleman. And now you're living life in a truly self-empowered state of mastery. And then your life becomes truly satisfying and fulfilling because you are actively and consciously engaging in life in unison with your divine purpose, which is joyful creation. The purpose of life is to have fun. The purpose of life is joy. The purpose of life is joyful creation. When you get that, you will then lead an absolutely fulfilling, exciting life, and prosperous life, and fun life, because you are consciously and deliberately creating your desires into your physical reality as the infinitely empowered creator you truly are. And that's when you really, finally feel your worthiness. Not because you're getting some sort of admiration from somebody else, but because you realize your power as a infinite master of creation. So, I hope you enjoyed my outrageously amazing, insanely enlightening master key of creation. It's all about feeling, not doing. And I'll add, it's all about getting happy first, and then you attract the goodies and the fun stuff that match your natural state of happiness and abundance. So if you got something from this, please comment, share with your friends, bless them with these amazing teachings, and remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Come visit me at sakiron.com for more self-empowering goodies to help you become a conscious, deliberate creator of reality. My name is Sakiron, and I help success-minded people, fun-oriented people, freedom-oriented people create the happy, abundant lifestyle you all and we all love. Thanks again for watching my video or listening to this podcast. And I wish you immense joy and abundance and tons of fun and lots of goodies and lots of sex and lots of fun adventures on your magnificent journey of divine creation. And of course, remember to make life a holiday. Woohoo!